I'm Elizabeth Ames, and this is the Women in Product podcast, where we share the stories of women product leaders, the careers they've built, the challenges they've overcome, and why they love building tech products. In this episode, we're going to talk to three members of the steering committee for this year's Women in Product conference, which will be held on May 14th and 15th. You'll learn what it's like to be on the conference steering committee and the work that they do. You'll also hear from these longtime volunteers about this year's theme and why you should be a part of the conference. Joining me are Anavi Nahar, Charmaine Brevard-Chap, and Paz Zuniga. Anavi Nahar is Principal PM Manager on the Azure team at Microsoft. She has a Bachelor's of Science in Mathematics and Applied Statistics from Purdue University, and a Master's of Engineering in Operations Research and Information Engineering from Cornell University. She is also a leader of the Women in Product chapter in Seattle. Charmaine Brevard-Chap is the head of product for revenue and financial automation at Stripe. She was previously senior director of product management at Facebook and VP of product and engineering at Twitch. Charmaine holds bachelor's and master's degrees in electrical engineering from MIT. Paz Zuniga is senior product manager at Vista Higher Learning. She was previously senior product manager at Scorpion and product manager at Learning Shift. Paz holds bachelor's of arts in linguistics from the University of Chile and a master's degree in teaching English as a second or foreign language from the University of Oxford. So welcome, everybody. It's great to have you here on the Women in Product podcast. So excited to talk to all of you today. I know that each of you were involved in the steering committee for this year's conference, but I really want to start out by hearing from you about how did you initially get involved in Women in Product? And Anavi, maybe you could start us off.
Yeah, that sounds great. I'd love to share a bit more on how I got involved with Women in Product. So, wow, a few years ago now, multiple years ago, I moved to the West Coast and started my job in product within Microsoft's cloud, Azure networking specifically. And as I got more involved into the day-to-day of product, I wanted to learn more about other people that were in a similar position. And I was trying to find a community that I could leverage both for my work as well as personally, and also share my expertise and my experience of product and my lived experience of being a woman in product as a whole. And that's when I kind of just did the usual searches and saw out there, like, what is the product community like? Is there something at all? And that's when I came across the Women in Product Seattle chapter as a whole. And I reached out to the chapter leads at the time and said, hey, you know, I'd love to join your events or learn more a little bit about how I could get involved. And the next thing I know, I'd been to a bunch of different events, got to know the board at the time, was, you know, invited to be on the board, and since then took on a more leadership team, and now I'm one of the co-leads of the chapter. So it really started from this journey of trying to seek community and now really ensuring that community is provided for other people, whether you're new to the area, new to the product community, or just been here and want to upskill and understand the more recent trends that are going on in this space.
You know, what you said about community really resonates with me too. Like, that was what drew me to Women in Product as well. Like, I moved to the Bay Area 10 years ago now, and I was looking for ways to get more involved, and everything was new and different. And I joined a different community, which was focused on women in tech more broadly. And I just found that, like, while that was great, I really, really wanted to connect with other women in product specifically, because we have so many shared experiences and it can often feel very lonely. And the community that we brought together through Women in Product is so incredible. And that's what I love about it the most.
My experience is also very similar. I also moved here in San Francisco to San Francisco 15 years ago, and it was also the same search around community and people. Not only as Anavi mentioned, right, like the personal growth and trying to build a community on your own, but also professionally. And I have met a few Latinas that were in product there. So that's how basically I got into the perfect combination of what I needed, both personally and professionally for this with this community.
Yeah. So, you know, all of you have done a lot for the community. And Paz, maybe you can talk a little bit about why volunteering and supporting Women in Product, you know, both the organization and the community is important to you.
Absolutely. Well, I've personally have always volunteered in wherever I go. I feel it's a really important part of how you can make the community your own.
Yeah.
And you can provide also, you can share your experiences and well, what yourself to the people you around you. And supporting volunteering in Women in Product and the community was vital for, because it basically champions diversity, inclusion, and equity in all the tech area industry that in general, women are historically underrepresented, and even in my case, like Latinas are even further there. So for me, it was first offering support when you can contribute to create more opportunities for women to grow, lead and hopefully innovate with it. This involvement in general does not only help me personally, like growth or through learning, but also helping others, and right, which really shape how the future can be equitable, and hopefully encourage more women to excel in these product management roles.
I really love how you recognize that your participation and your visibility helps encourage, you know, young Latina, Latina women of all ages to participate in product stuff. I mean, we so need their voices, and it's so great to, you know, have someone like yourself be that visible and that engaged, right? It makes a big difference.
I love that too. One thing that I would add to that is when I joined my company, I was not only the only person that was hired from like university as a whole, I was also one of the few women. And this is a few years ago, and I had heard this concept of, yeah, you know, women are underrepresented. But for me, it was more of an abstract concept because I went to an all-girls high school, and even in college, you know, it was pretty, I would say fair in terms of at least gender and people's backgrounds as a whole. But I think the first really hit where this abstract, seemingly abstract concept, I believed it, you know, I believed people's experiences as a whole, but it never kind of hit me in the head until I walked into a bunch of meetings and I was the only woman and the only young person or younger person, I should say, at the time in it. And that's when it just hit me like a lightning bolt, like, oh my gosh, like this is this abstract concept that I've heard about not having enough women or enough representation across the board actually exists. And like, I'm seeing it with my own two eyes now at work. And so that actually was also a fuel to my fire, not only for looking for and supporting women in product and retaining them and bringing them to the organization or bringing them into tech, but also just younger people. Like, nobody at my university knew about this. So I even started, you know, university recruiting for my team. And then since the kind of, what do you say, the distribution of people across age groups, across levels has since changed. And now I'm the champ for university recruiting. And then of course I'm the Women in Product Seattle chapter lead, but just seeing that, I think firsthand, and getting that hit a reality, I was just like, oh my God, I must do something about this. I need to do something about this, right?
Yeah, totally. Yeah. So I want to ask you guys, like, what was it like to be on the steering committee for the conference? And then maybe you can just also share with our listeners about, you know, like, what does the steering committee do? So that's sort of two questions packaged together for you there. And Paz, maybe you want to take a stab at that as well?
Yeah, absolutely. So, well, I've participated in the steering committee twice, and it has both times have been like it has been a great experience. I really enjoyed it. So basically, it's really rewarding and also challenging in the sense that you have a responsibility for really selecting, you know, and trying to propose what women in general are trying to say about product management. So it's a very rewarding experience. I basically this it's very well organized as well. So they help you a lot with how you can really manage the information you have and how can you agree with the team that you have. I don't know if you want to add more.
Charmaine?
Yeah, I mean, the team at Women in Product is so great, which is no surprise because the organization is so great. And, you know, we were brought together. We were asked to talk about what are the themes that we're seeing in product management this year and specifically how those might apply to women in product. And through those conversations, the team was able to distill what was rising to the top as a primary theme. And then that's what drove to the final evolution of landing at Evolve and Excel, which I think is very empowering and a very powerful theme to have.
Yeah. It's, you know, first of all, shout out to Rachel Royce, who does an incredible job pulling the steering committee together and having things structured in a really productive way. I have to give her a lot of shout out here. She's
super efficient. I absolutely loved it too.
But I think it's really important to talk about, you know, that it's really a series of conversations about what's going on in the market, what's going on in the profession, what, you know, how are people feeling, what are they thinking about? And we do try and get a really diverse set of people in the room. So from different kinds of companies, you know, at different levels, in different geographies, if possible, you know, so that we're kind of trying to get a snapshot across the whole profession, which is kind of a daunting thing to do when you think about it.
But I agree. This was my first experience on the steering committee. And it's interesting because there was a lot of this organization and efficiency, which I absolutely love as a very almost type A person. But it was also super scary because we didn't know what it was going to be. There's no end. I mean, there is a wig end goal, but there isn't like this is what you have to accomplish as a whole. So each conversation was evolving and bouncing ideas off of what we're hearing from the community. So it's kind of being on the receiving end of the feedback and using the feedback to guide the next set of just overall ideas, but then also specifically for the conference. So for me, it was kind of the whole typical with great power comes great responsibility type of deal where it's like, oh my gosh, I have the power to now kind of bring this feedback from that I'm hearing from the community, but at the same time it's like, oh my gosh, how do we get together? But then it was so cool to see the support from people and coming up with this idea of Evolve and Excel. I think it was a super rewarding experience, and seeing that from behind the scenes I think was super cool for me as well.
Yeah. So, you know, I think it's a great place to, you know, kind of dive in a little bit and say, you know, this year's the theme of the conference this year is Evolve and Excel. So what does that mean to each of you and why do you think it's important? And Charmaine, maybe you can start us off here.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think this is really what I love about the theme is that it can be applied to us in so many different ways, right? And so if you think about like, where are you as a person in your career, on your personal growth journey, and how are you evolving this year? And how are you going to push yourself to excel? But then you can also apply it to your business. Like what's happening in the market, in the climate, with the economy, with your company and the business that you're supporting? And how is that evolving and excelling as well? And then, you know, I think one of the other things that we talked about was really reflecting on what's happening in the industry today. Like AI continues to be very important, but last year the market dropped and it was the year of efficiency for a lot of people. So how do we evolve in a market or environment that is operating under more constraints than previously, and still, despite those constraints, continue to excel in your industry? And so it's just like very interesting to see the different ways that we can take a very important angle out of this theme.
Yeah, I see what you mentioned, Charmaine, and in the way also like with the topics that we saw for the conference, right? They were showing all these different perspectives that you were exactly mentioning, like the economy, how people would evolve, we need to pivot, while others how we can make the best out of this and excel. So I totally agree to what you were saying in this, like how we see from the community the topics there and how we can help them show what it's their perspective around the topic.
Yeah. Any other?
I would say it's also super relatable, right? I think this was what Charmaine was also trying to say, where it's not just something that needs to be in the context of women in product or supporting our cause and our mission. It's just overall, you know, as a human being at a fundamental level, like how are you evolving and excelling across different backgrounds? So I feel like it's very appealing and relatable. And then it can be applied to different topics and different areas of expertise, which is what you'll see with the speakers and the kind of the workshops that are being set up as well. So that's really what spoke to me most about how relatable it is across kind of actually even industries, right? I mean, I know it's limited to product as a whole, but it is really applicable across different industries as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think your last point is one that I hear a lot these days, because, you know, we not only work with traditional tech companies, but we have a lot of companies that participate now that are not traditional tech companies, and they're really trying to, you know, evolve their thinking in terms of product-led growth and what is product management and how does that really work and how does that change our organization and, you know, how do we, in some cases, how do we train people to be able to do these new things and evolve their skill set, et cetera. So it's really, I really love the theme this year because it has that sort of big picture, but also that small lens, depending on
how you view it,
you and what you're bringing to it and what you want to get out of it. Right. So, yeah, I thought it was a great theme. As part of the team that selected this year's theme, why do you think people should attend? You know, like what is important for the women in the field? Why is it important for them to gather regularly? And what do they get out of this? And Charmaine, I know you've been at the conference for many years, so yeah, maybe you can start us off on that one.
Yes, absolutely. Like I cannot stress how much Women in Product has had an impact on my life, right? Like I think I started attending back in 2018. I got to present in 2019 and have been a part of the conference in some way, shape, or form ever since then. And it just continues to be it's an inspiring event. And what I love about Women in Product is that there is always a call to action, right? So you will be listening to the keynotes or you'll be listening to the breakout sessions that resonate with you the most. And we really, really care about asking everybody, what are you going to do based on what you've just learned today or what we've just talked about? Like, how are you going to make this your reality? What are you going to do differently this week, next month, next quarter? Like, what does that mean for each of you? And it's just such a good reminder, because as product managers, we're so busy caring about our products and our users, we forget to care about ourselves. And so what are we doing to PM our career? And for me, this conference every year brings us all together and reminds us to care about ourselves as well. And it also, for me, I think I mentioned this earlier, it reminds us that we're not alone, because I think our role can be very lonely at times. And it reminds us that there's a lot of people fighting the same fights that we are, going through the same challenges, evolving in the same way. And this is the place where we all get to come together and feel united as that community.
I love that. I love that you said PM your career, because sometimes I say it to everyone in my life who is a PM. I'm like, PM your life. You know how to prioritize like what's important and what gives you value. So like hashtag PM your life. But one thing I also wanted to add is I'm often always trying to prioritize as much as possible for efficiency. Like this is, you could, someone might even say that this is my toxic trait, right? Like if I have to do only one thing, I'm not going to go a certain area. I have to make sure I'm doing all of the three things in that area to get most out of this like grocery trip or this chores trip that I'm doing, right? So that's my toxic trait, I'll say right off the bat. But I choose to view it in a positive light, personally. And I think that's important here as well. If we're already doing something in an industry that's working in the product side, this is a great place to bring that and not reinvent the wheel, right? Especially as you were saying, Elizabeth, of different industries trying to understand product and figure out what really product is for them or what a product manager role is or how they can use this to the best of their advantage to excel in their industry as a whole in maybe a non-traditional product role as well. I think that's a great opportunity to bring here and be like, how are people doing it in this industry? How can I leverage that as a whole instead of having to start from scratch, which is obviously a lot more work and I would expect not as much fun. So I think that would also be a great reason to add in addition to what Charmin said too.
I would second what Charmin said as well in the way like PMs are sometimes are very, it's a very lonely role. And so I feel people should attend because you can find community, not only personally, like if you find like some support in any way that you can or relate to people who are actually doing the same thing as you, right? Or going through the same things. But also professionally, you will learn a lot. And there's a very high caliber of quality there in terms of the different areas, the same spectrums, where people come from, where they want to go. So there's definitely a lot of learning and quality that people really should be. And again, I'm second Charmin, like they will be inspired by it.
Yeah. You know, I think sometimes people come to the event and, or they just start off by like looking at the agenda and they're like, whoa. Like, how am I, like, I'm drinking from a fire hose. How am I possibly going to be able to wrap my head around this to, you know, like Charmin says, walk away with actionable things, et cetera. So do you guys have any advice for people who are planning to attend about how to sort of maximize the, you know, their attendance or their takeaways? And Avi, maybe you want to start with that one. Give us some tips on that.
Absolutely. So I've been going to the conference for a while now. And I think initially the move to virtual was a little bit hard for all of us. But, you know, we had to do what we had to do given the climate and the world health at the time. So one of my key things would be just identify goals for yourself, right? Like, what are you looking to get out of this? And so maybe that's two or three things that you're like, hey, these are my non-negotiables. I really want to get this out of it. And then find those appropriate breakout sessions, workshops, networking sessions, or even the keynotes appropriately, like what is best for you that you know, you're able to fulfill those goals. And then I would add in like one maybe last goal is like a buffer period, because you always have, or a buffer goal maybe, because you always will be, I guess, surprised, right? Things that you didn't think that you were looking for, or things that you didn't realize you needed help in, or that you could evolve certain ways that you're already doing stuff. So that's what I would do. So two or three, just to summarize, two or three maybe goals that you have, and then a buffer in terms of, hey, what else can I add on without feeling overwhelmed, right? And I think the biggest thing here is you have to make it work for you. And so if you bring this energy of overwhelm and, oh my gosh, I have to do all of it, I think it's not going to be as successful. So definitely, you know, there's a lot of content, but it's not like if you don't go to each and every single thing, you're missing out on it. You're prioritizing for what's important for you and accomplishing your goals while also letting something surprise you. So that would be my advice as a whole. I don't know if folks had other things they wanted to add to.
Yeah, they totally resonate with me, Anabi. I think it's definitely you should focus on the goals that you have for yourself and try to look and you know, discern what you want from there. Maybe a little bit more specific around that. What I've done is I try to focus on like, okay, my current situation. This is what I'm doing. This is my area. This is what my space is. And there is another room I leave for the future, like future pass, and where I want to, like, I want to learn about, you know, executive part of things. It, that kind of thing helps me to balance and helps me a little bit more the prioritization with where I would be spending the time. And I totally agree with the buffer. I usually pick something very randomly and I say, this, I don't know, I need to see this. I want to see, even though it's not related at all with what I have done, what I've been doing.
Piques your interest or something.
Exactly. Yeah. So I would advise anyone to do that, like to get a wild card of something that really catches your attention, even if it's not related to what you were doing.
Yeah.
And honestly, I think the conference just does such a great job of making it a very friendly event. It's like easy to onboard virtually. There are like the keynotes I have always found to be incredibly inspiring. So they're a great way to kick off the conference. And then there's always like mixers and ways to connect with other people in the downtime. And so it's, you know, like just show up. If it's too much to like look in advance and plan it out, just show up and you can't go wrong. Like it's going to be great.
You know,
yeah, that's true. You don't want to get overwhelmed or anything. Like if you don't have goals, if you don't have that buffer, just kind of showing up is half the battle, as my mom would.
So true. You know, one of the things that sort of sticks out with me, which is a little bit, I think people that are new to the conference don't expect, is make a point to connect with other people. Go to the networking mixer, you know, reach out to other people. People, making those people connections is really, really valuable, and actually really doable at this conference. So I always really encourage people to do that. The other thing that I always recommend to people is like, if other people in your organization are going, if there's a group of you that are going, try and get together beforehand, like just a little brown bag lunch or something, and just share, like, I really want to do these things. Well, you know, somebody else wants to do those, et cetera. And then do the same thing after you're at the conference so that you kind of cement your knowledge and share it, right? Like, here's my really big takeaway. Oh, I didn't go to those. That's good to know, you know? So I always think those are good tips to kind of help people feel more connected, be more part of the community, find things that are valuable. Yeah.
Yeah. And bringing in that in-person connection too. And so you don't feel as isolated when you're going to the conference, especially if it's like your first couple of times or something like that.
Yeah. I think that that is one of the things that is so valuable about the conference, but about our community overall, which is this sense of like, first of all, that you're not alone, but second of all, that, you know, when you're uncertain or feel like you don't exactly know the answer and you feel like you're in a situation that you feel a little vulnerable, you have a place to go to ask that question where people aren't going to judge you. They're going to help you, right? Like there is this spirit, and you guys are such a good example of this spirit, but this spirit of giving, right? Of giving and receiving, right? Sharing what you know, you know, helping other people, receiving help from other people, right? It's a beautiful thing. I just love that part. So, you know, to kind of finish up our conversation here, but, you know, all of you have volunteered in a variety of ways to support Women in Product and the community over the years. Do you have any suggestions for our listeners about how they can get more involved? This is a question I get all the time from people. So now I'm going to toss it to you.
Ooh, this is a good one. I think step one would just be figuring out the kind of bandwidth or the cycles that you have to be involved and just being realistic about that. I think I remember really early on in my career, I kind of just said, yes, I want to do this and I want to volunteer for this and I want to volunteer for this. And then one day I just sat at home and I was just like, oh my God, I think I've overcommitted myself. So learn from my mistakes and definitely don't do that, and be realistic of the kind of bandwidth or the cycles you have or the time and the energy you have. Make sure your cup is filled is a popular terminology I hear nowadays. So I think that's step one. Once you figure out, you know, what kind of cycles or bandwidth you have, there's a variety of different ways. Maybe I'll recommend three, and then I'm sure the group here has more to add. One is just showing up to events, right? Finding your local chapter. There's probably a local chapter in your area. If there is one, you know, reaching out to the people. There's very accessible online pages that we have for each chapter and who the chapter leads are if one already exists. Reach out to them, find out how events are run for that chapter. Some have events every month, some have it on a quarterly basis, some have more informal like brunches and things like that too. So find those kinds of events and just show up and try to show up to a few of them. That would be one easy kind of low commitment way. The other way is, you know, seeking for help. Hey, like, do you need help actually organizing these events or planning these events or bringing your expertise to the table? And so volunteering and saying, hey, like, I'm happy to help with the next event. Let me know. I'm happy to learn the rails and help you, right? So being on the other side of instead of just attending, but helping organize the event. And then finally, I would say is just trying to become a community leader, right? Bringing more people in, whether it's at your workplace or your personal life, you see people and maybe they're feeling isolated or maybe they don't have that community and say, hey, like, actually, I'm going to a Women in Product event on March 27th. Actually, that's one of our events, a shameless plug there. Maybe you just bring a friend to that event and then kind of doing it at a smaller community level. So those are three different ways, of course, apart from, you know, going to the conference as well, that I would recommend. But you really have to be realistic with yourself and how much time and energy you have for that. For sure.
I love all of that. And then the one that I'll add is perhaps like the most low key, which is just get involved in the Facebook group. The Facebook group is so active. There's so many people and it's a great way. Like women are always posing questions and other people are chiming in and answering. And then that's kind of like spins off and could become a DM or a way for people to connect. And I always felt like that was like a really great way to just get introduced to the community completely virtually, do it from your home, from your phone. And then you can get more involved as you get more comfortable and familiar through that.
I think it's a very, and there are very chapters in Facebook as well in the community, so you can participate on a more local side of things. I would add to the people who the listeners, I would like to reinforce the part that this is a very welcoming community. So if you think that you might like, oh, I want to present, oh, I want to do this, but I'm not sure. And how do I do it, because you are going to be received very well, that they're going to hear you and you can find ways of getting involved in any way you want. People, this community is in general very welcoming. So just do it. Just try to start with something that you feel it can really provide some help to others, or it can help you either way. Just, yeah, participate in it.
I love that you added the speaking aspect too, right? Because I mean, all of the people that have spoken, I know that some people just decided one year they were going to go ahead and speak and kind of reached out to people who've done it in the past. So I love that you added that, because that could also just be, hey, it's only like the conference is usually annually, right? And so it's just another low effort kind of thing. Just say, hey, okay, I'm going to mentally prepare, I'm going to do this, I'm going to reach out to people I know I really like this session in the past. Or maybe as you're going to the conference this year, you find two speakers that you really resonated with and you loved how their delivery was for the session. Reach out to them. Hey, like next year, I want to do a session on this topic. You know, any tips or any things like hindsight, 2020 is 2020. So what are your kind of things that you would do differently if you were a speaker? So kind of using this conference as a platform for you to step forward and also get involved. I love that, Paz.
I often say to people who, you know, women who will say, oh, I couldn't possibly speak, like, you know, I don't have anything important to say, you know, the whole gamut of things that come up lately. This is the best possible place to start speaking, because you'll get so much help from the community in thinking about what you want to talk about and recognizing what you do well and listening to your thoughts on things and then helping you put together a proposal. It's really, everyone wants you to succeed. Everyone will give you a hand out and a hand up to succeed, right? And so it's just the best possible place to start that. So I really encourage people to take a stab at that. We do have a call for participation that opens every year in January, and it's great to submit. We do get a lot of submissions, so there are people that submit and spend time on submissions that don't actually get to speak. But let me just say that even preparing for it and putting together a proposal is really valuable. You will get feedback, and you know that has a lot of value. So anyway, you three are such fabulous examples of members of our community. I'm so grateful for the contributions that all of you have made. And I'm really grateful for you to having taken the time today to talk to me about it. Hopefully we answered some questions for people out there about what the steering committee does. It's not really a mystery, even though it seems like it is one. I really, really appreciate you being a part of this today and a part of the steering committee. Thanks.
Thanks so much for having us.
Thank you for listening. And thanks also to our partner, Discover, who provides annual support for the work of Women in Product. And thank you to our community. This podcast is an original production of Women in Product. Follow us on Apple Podcast and leave us a review so that others can discover us. Android users, find us on Spotify or share this episode with others who you think would find it interesting.